Hey, Pearlside Small Group Leaders, welcome to our weekly Small Group Leaders podcast where we help equip you as you prepare to lead. You got Michelle here with Pastor Billy. And before we jump into our small group discussion, just wanted to give you a few reminders. We have our All Small Group Leaders Summit for you and your tripods April 27th. Be sure to register for that, especially if you need childcare. And also our School of Empowerments are coming with our School of Empowerment and School of Healing May 20 to 22nd for SOE and May 23 to 24 for the School of Healing. See our website or the email that you received for more information, or talk to your small group leader coach who can help determine which school is a proper fit for you. But came off a great Easter. We got Pastor Billy here. He's going to take us through the guide and just how we can help shepherd people in this Easter follow-up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before we get into the guide, I just want to say thank you everyone for pulling through to celebrate awesome Easter services at all of our sites and our locations. I know it was energetic at the main campus where I was, and I'm sure at all our congregations, I heard reports that it was just a powerful time, guests coming, you know, experiencing the love of God and a lot of salvations. And I just want to encourage us to be following up this week and beyond. You know, Easter isn't just meant to be that one-off where, like, hey, one and done, right? It's supposed to be the beginning of a journey of faith. You know, I think about, you know, when Jesus rose from the dead, that wasn't the end of the story. That was the beginning of the church. And so the disciples after that, they began to share the gospel and spread the news and made disciples. And for the last 2,000 plus years, the world's different as a result. And so we need to follow that same theme where Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of us now following up with our friends and loved ones, inviting them out to coffee, taking them out to lunch. And one of the simple things you can do is ask them, hey, what did you think about the service? Do you have any questions? I'd love to just talk and process and share and help them to continue on their journey of faith.
Yeah, and we actually have our leadership guide coming out this week too, that you'll receive an email that goes through some more practical steps for you to take in this Easter follow-up.
Yeah, so we want to let Easter be the beginning of a great new season of discipleship and change lives. And it starts with us. Amen. So as we head into our discussion this weekend, you know, Easter, as we said, is the most significant day in the Christian worldview because it was the day that Jesus proved that he was who he said he was, the Son of God, and that salvation and the forgiveness of sins is available to anyone who repents and believes in him. And I just love the story that we shared of the three crosses, right? And the two criminals that hung beside Jesus. And, you know, the Bible is so profound that these two criminals that hung beside Jesus typifies all of humanity, that we are all, like them, guilty, condemned for our sins. But we have two choices, just as these two men did, to choose to choose to follow Jesus, to repent, or to reject him, right? There's really only two choices. When you're faced with the cross, you really only have two choices, either to reject it or to receive it by faith. Mm-hmm. And the question that the text and scriptures really is asking all of us is, which of these two criminals are you? Right. Are you the one that's going to reject Jesus and blaspheme his name, or are you going to be one that receives him by faith through repentance, and then we'll spend eternity in paradise with Jesus? And so that's the question that's being posed here. And sometimes, I don't know if we think about this, but in all of our lives, we receive Jesus in some area, but we also reject him in some areas, right? So as we engage in our discussion this week, we want to help people to come to fully receiving Jesus as Lord, repenting of our sins in every area of our lives, whether we're brand new or whether we've been around for 50 years, that all of us can come to greater levels of repentance and trusting in Jesus. And so as we dive into our discussion today, you know, as you reflect on the main thought, scriptures, and the weekend sermon, what is the Lord highlighting to you and why? Explain. And, you know, I'll just start off with this. I was thinking about this morning, just, you know, a lot of times we don't think of ourselves as criminals, right? Mm-hmm. You know, even when we said that on Sunday, I remember saying to everyone, you know, we're all criminals. And you'd see some people like, yeah, maybe the guy sitting next to me is a criminal. but not me. I'm a good person, right? Mm-hmm. But you realize one of the greatest sins that we've all committed is thinking we can live independently of God. Right. Like, that's the height of blasphemy. Blasphemy isn't just insulting him. It's saying, I don't need you. You know, and I read a couple of studies. There's one study, the Pew Research did this study that said that 89% of people believe in God. Think about that. 89%. 63% strongly believe in God. So the vast majority of people believe in God. So why aren't churches packed?
Right.
And here's the reason why. Most of us think we don't need God. Mm-hmm. I may believe in him, but I see no need for him in my life. I got running water, I got food, I have money. You know, I don't need God. But that's what blasphemy is, thinking that I can live my life independently of him. So the issue is not I don't believe. The issue is I don't think I need you. And that is the greatest sin. Mm-hmm. For us to say to the creator of the universe, I don't need you. I'm going to live my life completely independent of you. Or think about it this way, Christians, in some areas of our lives, I don't need you, mm-hmm. right? I don't need you in my finances, maybe. I don't need you in my marriage, or I don't need you in my whatever. When we do that, we're sinning against God, and we're pushing him out of our lives, and that is guilty. That's mm-hmm. guilt right there. Mm-hmm. And all of us, like the criminals hanging on the cross, are condemned because of that guilt. But thanks be to God for the gospel, Jesus Christ, right? And when we receive him, he washes away that guilt. But oftentimes, that I think is the greatest thing. I know for me, sometimes I don't think, I don't need to pray. Life is relatively good. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to seek him. But then stuff hits the fan. Now I need you. Oh my God, yeah. I'm guilty, yeah. right? And I think everyone can relate to that at some level.
Yeah, and I was just talking to one of my small group ladies as I'm preparing her to lead a cluster of how do you navigate the different people in group with the different levels of lordship understanding and just surrender to Jesus. And I was telling her, you can tell by the way people talk, you know, and I think as I was younger in the Lord, everything was about what I needed to live life, mm-hmm. what I needed. It was very me-centered Christianity. I think when we have a me-centered Christianity, it's very easy to then not worship God because I don't need him because, mm-hmm. like what you said, I have what I need. Yeah. And the only thing that would bring me back to this desperation for Jesus or to be in church and be in small group was when I hit something happened where I didn't have what I needed. Yeah. And as we mature in Christ, you know, we have to come to the place where it's not about me. It's I'm worshiping God because he's God. Right. Right? And I think sometimes, especially in Western Christianity and in our culture, we can walk, even ourselves, with this idea that we're good with God because our life is good. Mm-hmm. Right? But that's not the point of Christianity.
No. And then we come running to him like right. a genie in a lamp, or Santa Claus on him. Christmas morning, right? Expecting him to do what we want him to do.
Yeah.
Because we now have a need. And, you know, look, I get it. You know, we're all like that. And yeah. so this isn't yeah. a judgment, you know, so don't be, you know, wagging your finger at people yeah. in your group. Like, see, he's talking about you. Like,
but it helps you see where people are at and then to bring that challenge right. of the cross to them.
And then hopefully for us, we realize, man, that's pretty selfish to be like that. I should stop right. being like that.
Right. You know, I'm pretty sure that's not what Jesus said no. to them, or how he
said. Well, and you know, it's funny, you know, what the one thief on the cross said is, you know, like, he said, aren't you the Son of God? Save yourself and us. I thought that was kind of funny that he said that. Like, you're a convicted criminal. Why are you asking Jesus to save you? Do you not think you deserve to be there, right? And I think that's also part of this blasphemy where I think I don't have a need. I don't need to be, you know, I don't deserve to be here. It's just this wrong mentality about ourselves versus the other guy. He said, no, we're all under the same sentence. Like, mm-hmm. we deserve this. He doesn't. And when we have a right understanding of our sinfulness, our fallenness, then we understand our need for him more clearly, yeah. right? Yeah. And so, you know, we're all going to yo-yo up and down from time to time, but, you know, this is where us as leaders, we can challenge the people in our groups. Like, hey, you see how you did that? You only ran to him when you needed something. Yeah. This is a great opportunity for us to say, that's kind of sin. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not kind of, it is, but, you know, we say it gently. And we need to come to this place of understanding our need for Jesus every day, yeah. right? Because otherwise, you know, we're guilty. Right. We remain in this place of guilt.
Right. And as leaders, you know, you're hearing the language of what they're saying, and then that's helping you then know how to then shepherd them to be more surrendered to Christ. And so, you know, as people are sharing throughout the discussion, lean in, ask the Holy Spirit to help you discern. And how can you then, like Pastor Billy said, challenge them to more obedience, challenging them to more surrender, challenging them to really embrace lordship. We're all not there yet, me included. I am not there yet. And every day the Lord is challenging me to more lordship and more obedience. And so again, not a condemning thing, but a, hey guys, what we really want to live is a fully surrendered and obedient life. Let's do that.
Yep. So that leads us to the second question. What are some reasons that you rejected Jesus in the past? What are some ways that you're tempted to reject him in your life today? And you know, this doesn't necessarily mean reject like full on, like Jesus, I don't need you. I'm out. I'm out. But sometimes it's reject him and just, I don't need to pray about this. I'm going to do this on my own. You know,
I don't need self-sufficiency.
That's right. That's independence, right? We reject him in this, or I'm not going to seek the Lord's will for this relationship, or seek the Lord's will for this business deal, or this trial that I'm going through. I'm just going to muscle up on my own, or I'm going to medicate it with alcohol or drugs. This is how I'm going to cope. And in those ways, we're rejecting Jesus because Jesus wants to help you in that trial. But rather than going to Jesus, we run to the bottle or we run to the club or to the bar or whatever. So those are some ways. So have a good discussion on that. What are some ways that you reject Jesus, you're tempted to? And maybe leaders, come ready to share something in your own life.
Yeah.
You know, like I realize, you know, sometimes like I don't pray about things. You know, I just make a decision. And
that was me the other day. I was like, oh no, Michelle, you've gotten into this mode.
Yeah, no, I was driving my kids to school one morning and I was just thinking like, you know, I hadn't prayed about this particular situation. And I was just like, wow, I've never asked God's wisdom about this particular thing. Right. And I realize I'm rejecting him in that space, right? Maybe I accept him in all these others, but I reject him here. Oh, so anyway, talk about that. Because if we allow those things to persist, then we're going to end up far away from where God wants us to be, right? Absolutely. So, and the thing about this, you know, you don't have to do all these questions, but these are options. The third one, how have you experienced a more abundant life as you began following Christ? And this is the good news. You know, Jesus doesn't want to just save us for our eternal life in heaven. He wants to help walk with us through the journey of life that we're dealing with today, right? As we talked about last week, he wants to carry the burdens with us. And maybe talk about that, because we want to encourage people that as they continue on this journey of faith, God wants to be present in your trials. And you know, if that thief hadn't died on the cross that day, he would have followed Jesus, I'm sure, and he would have begun to experience God's transformative power in his life, right? And so we know that for sure. That's what happens when we follow him. Jesus' promise is an abundant life. And then lastly, how is God challenging you to trust in Jesus more today? What holds you back? Or what area, right? And what practical steps can you begin trusting in him? I know I was talking with someone this week, and exactly what I said, he realized I need to start praying about stuff. Like, I don't pray about stuff. I go on instinct, I go on my experience, and it's always worked out for me, but I don't pray about stuff. And we realize together, I'm rejecting Jesus when I don't invite him into my situation.
Yeah, and it's not like, I mean, God might be giving you those instincts, but he wants the relationship.
That's right.
Right? He doesn't want to be your genie in a bottle. He wants to walk with you and lead you, right? And as we talked about the week prior, he wants to carry the burden for us, right? And so, yeah, and I think this would be a great place to make sure you're in your clusters, right? So people can be intimate and maybe share that thing that they know. Because I know it's evident. The Holy Spirit's revealing a lot of things to people. You heard in conversations in the lobbies and in small groups leading up to this. And so we want to create those safe spaces and smaller clusters so that people can say and have the opportunity to share it and then pray through it with each other.
Yeah. And you know, and in this question, really encouraging people to examine the different areas of our lives that we don't think we need Jesus in. Because again, that is the greatest sin, thinking I can live independently of God. I mean, that was Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. They didn't want to live according to God's law, and that brought sin and death into the world. And whenever we push God out, it may seem small, may seem innocuous, but in reality, when that becomes a habit of living independently of God, that is the greatest sin that will then separate us from him, not just in this life, but that's what separates us from him in eternal life if we don't ever come to faith and trust in Jesus, right? And so we want to encourage people to in the small things, the big things, to make sure that we're trusting in Jesus more and more and more. That's the goal of the Christian life.
Yep. And so make sure you make time to pray. And again, our memory verse, another way to help us remember that we're fully dependent on God is to memorize scripture, because it's when we look to scripture and look to his wisdom and actually take the time to memorize it, it begins our way of thinking. It starts to change the way we think and what we pull on when we're in circumstances and situations. So do, you know, as a group, memorize the scripture together, recite it together, and lean on it throughout the week. The Lord is there. He has everything that we need, and he's more than enough for us, but it has to move from being about us to then about him and what he's calling us to do.
Amen. Well, leaders, thank you so much for continuing to love and lead your people. Thank you for helping us have a great Easter weekend. I just want to reiterate one last time. Let's be following up on our guests. Amen. Encourage the people in your group, if they're excited about having brought someone to church on Easter.
Make room for them.
Yeah, but remind them, what are you going to do to follow up?
Right.
You know, I'll go with you. Let's go together to lunch. Let's go together to coffee. Let's host a game night at home. You know what I mean? Whatever, but let's together continue these relationships, because we know that salvation isn't just a prayer. It's a relationship with Jesus, and we want to help them, if they pray that prayer, now to build that relationship. And it's going to take all of us, right? So we want to do this together. So I want to encourage you to continue to follow up, continue to love on people, and let's continue to grow closer to Jesus every single day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, leaders.
Have a great week.